This morning, the Word of God comes to us from the Old Testament book of the Psalms. You can find that just about in the middle of your pew Bible if you want to open up to Psalm 147, very near the end of the book of Psalms. In here, we hear about the goodness of our God and the call to give thanks to God. Would you pray with me? Thank you, God, for your word. Your word is alive. It's powerful. It is the way in which we hear you speak. And so, God, we pray that you would silence all the other voices so we can hear you through your word. In Christ's name, amen. Psalm 147, verses 1 through 11. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God, for he is gracious, and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the downtrodden. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the animals their food and to the young ravens when they cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the speed of the runner. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those whose hope is his steadfast love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's an honor to be here before you folks today. The past several weeks, we have been taking a journey through the brief statement of faith. Last week, Pastor Stephen was talking about the segment that had to do with our creation in the image of God. And it also talked about intention with that, this overarching power in the world that gets in the way sometimes, a lot of the time, of us doing what God wants us to do. This overarching power we call sin with a capital S. This overarching power manifests itself by affecting our behaviors, where we do things that are against the will of God. Sin, with a small s. When we think of sin, we usually think in terms of things that we do, our behaviors. And the brief statement of faith identifies some of those elements. I'm going to go ahead and read this segment just to get us kind of oriented in what we're talking about. We'll be reading it again at the close of the service. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and ourselves. Accept lies as truth. Exploit neighbor and nature. And threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. So we sin by the things that we do, but we also sin by the things that we don't do. When we hold back our talents, the skills which God has given us, we sin. When we say, we're not good enough, I can't do this, we sin. About 4 or 5 years ago, I was sitting in my pastor's office trying to explain to him the angst that I was feeling as a result of some of the stresses that our congregation was going through. During the course of the conversation, he reminded me that the following Sunday, this is a Tuesday, the next Sunday, they were going to start an additional worship service with the idea that this would help reduce some of the stress that we were experiencing as a congregation. At the close of our discussion, totally out of the blue, he asked me if I would be available and willing to provide the music support, playing the organ, for this new worship service. Now, the church had a gorgeous organ, gorgeous pipe organ, and I had played it from time to time, so the pastor knew I was interested. But it had been years since I had done any serious playing. My immediate response with my inside voice was, you've got to be kidding. No way could this happen. Just as quickly, I realized that absolutely the only right answer was yes. And why was that? Let's table that. I'm going to come back to it in a couple of minutes. When we sin, what we don't do is as important as the things that we do that we shouldn't. And the brief statement of faith goes through an outline, sort of summarizes a lot of the things that we find that we do that are sinful. Ignoring God's commandments, violating the image of God in others, accepting lies as though they were truth, not relating well with our neighbors, and not taking care of the planet, not taking care of the earth, those things that God has entrusted to our care. But just as importantly are those times when we stand back and don't offer our talents or say, I can't do this, I'm not capable, I don't have that skill set. We hide. We tend to hide from God. Going back to my discussion with my pastor, the preceding several months, my prayers had been focused on asking God to somehow intervene with our congregation, to somehow fix things so that we could get along once again. The night before I happened to be meeting with my pastor, I had been more specific in my prayers, specifically asking God to tell me, to direct me, to let me know what I could do to help the congregation. Next day, I'm sitting in the pastor's office, and he's asking me to provide music for the worship service. There was absolutely no way I could say no, and I said yes. Needless to say, there was a lot of ramp up in my practice time those next few days. But it was absolutely the right answer, and it started me on a spiritual journey that has taken me places that I never would have dreamed, including the door to your church and my standing here with you folks today. When we hide from God, there can be all kinds of reasons that we do that. Are we feeling guilty? Are we intimidated by his power? Are we trying to make ourselves feel small? Maybe he won't find us. But Sunday school teaches us that it doesn't work that way. God will find us. There are all kinds of examples in Scripture of people trying to hide from God, and it generally does not go well for them. Adam and Eve, when they realized they had messed up, tried to hide from God, but he took a walk in the garden and found them. Jonah, when God told him to go preach redemption and repentance to the Ninevites, the city of Nineveh, Jonah hopped a boat, tried to skip town, but God found him and said, "No way, that's not the plan." And when Jonah said, "Well, then just go kill me," God says, "No, that's not the plan. I'm not going to kill you, but you are going to go to Nineveh." And Jonah did. And then there's Moses, who tried to argue with God that he was not worthy, was not capable of leading the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said, "Well, that's not the plan either. You're going to do it, but I'll give you Aaron. He can do some of the speaking for you." And then there was Peter, who at the last minute hid from God and denied Christ 3 times. When we're feeling guilty or afraid or insecure and unworthy, in many respects, we're insulting God. God doesn't make mistakes. There's a difference between humility when we're in front of God and humility and feeling unworthy when we're in front of our fellow people. William Plaker, a theologian who was involved with the formation of the Brief Statement of Faith, and he wrote a commentary on the Statement of Faith in which he talks about this concept of unworthiness and humility before God. And he challenges us in how we think about this. And this is what he says. "We even claim all this as virtue." And he's talking about our humility, the way we tend to depreciate ourselves before God. "We even claim all this as virtue. Christian humility, we may call it, and do not recognize it as a sin of failing to realize fully what we might be as creatures made in God's image. Denying what God made us to be, whether setting ourselves up as gods or denying our real abilities and potentials, both are really sins. And he goes on to explain that hiding ourselves from God is the sin of trying to be less than we really are. So what happens when we hide from God? For one thing, we can't communicate. If you're hiding from somebody, you can't communicate with them. And if we don't communicate, we can't build a relationship. We can't grow. I think of an example when I look at the fall foliage, all the gorgeous leaves. And when you're looking at a wide expanse of trees in autumn color, you're likely to see groupings. There'll be a grouping of red color, and then a grouping of yellow, and then the oranges over here, and another group of reds. And I've always kind of wondered what makes that happen. You know, why is it not just random color? Many trees communicate with each other through a very elaborate root structure. What we see on the surface are individual trees, but underneath, the root structure is very interconnected. In many cases, the roots actually merge with each other. The roots of one tree actually graft onto the roots of another tree, so that they're sharing nutrients. They're sharing biological cellular structure. In many respects, they become one. So when the colors start to change, colors, it all starts out as green. That green color is a function of the chlorophyll in the leaves. As the sun begins to be less intense, the production of chlorophyll goes down, and that green color begins to fade. And what we see are the wonderful colors that were there all along. We just couldn't see them because the green was more intense and overshadowed them. The trees that are interconnected with each other are sharing these same colors. So the trees that are looking yellow, more likely than not, are interconnected in some way beneath the surface. They're communicating. Just like the colors in the leaves that are there all the time, we just don't see them. God's grace is always present. And he wants that connection, you know, with us and for us to connect with others. God is constantly calling us to come. The word come, to come, in that context, occurs many, many, many more times throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament than does the word sin. We know God must be invested in us. Why else would he have stuck by the Israelites those 40 years as they challenged his authority, you know, in the desert? We just need to be willing to take the risk, to go to him, to trust. When we hide, we miss out on opportunities to build faith. In Matthew, Jesus is walking across the waters to the boat where the disciples are hovering in a major storm, and he calls out to them to come. Peter is the only one that gets out of the boat. And he walks towards Christ. And then he loses his focus, begins to sink, but reaches out. And Christ escorts him back to the boat. Think what wonderful experiences he would never have experienced if he had not trusted and had not gotten out of the boat. The final statement in this section of the statement of faith is an interesting one. We deserve God's condemnation. William Placker explained that when the statement of faith was being formulated, there was a contingency of people that wanted them to change the wording, to change condemnation to judgment, on the grounds that God does not condemn us. The committee changed the wording, but before finalization, changed it back to the way it is now. We deserve God's condemnation. Explaining that what this statement was saying was, we deserve God's condemnation. It was not saying that God condemns us. And I find that interesting. The power of the word versus the power of the total intent. The author of the lyrics to Amazing Grace wrote them at a time when he was repenting past behaviors and experiencing God's grace. And he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." The lyrics were written by John Newton, who was a slave trader, had been a slave trader for many, many years, and was very wealthy from that trade. At a point in his life, he realized the evil of his way, gave up the slave trade, and wrote the lyrics to Amazing Grace to explain the wonders that he experienced in being able to receive and experience the grace of God and his forgiveness. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. God forgives our sins unconditionally. We just have to be willing to trust, not to hide, and to step out of the boat. Very much like the aspen leaves, when we come out of hiding, we see the full spectrum of the colors which were there all along. We experience God's full potential, all that he has to offer us. And we see our full potential, all that God has given us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.